Well, do please take a seat, and if you could be picking up your Bibles again and turning back to page 1160, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, page 1160. And let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we are naturally blind to spiritual things. But we thank you and praise you that you are the one who could open the blind, open the blind's eyes. So Lord, we pray that you would teach us this morning by your Holy Spirit that we might see what you have done for us, that we may fix our eyes on those things which are eternal. For your glory's sake. Amen. Well, we come to the end of this mini-series. It's been a series of three on our strap line, if you like, as a church family, to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. And we've seen something of what this means from the book of 2 Corinthians, haven't we? To know Jesus Christ is to have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It means to have been remade by the creator of the universe. We found that from chapter 4, verse 6. And that changes everything in our lives, doesn't it? To have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ changes us. It changes the way that we look at the world. As C.S. Lewis put it, he said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." To have come to know Jesus Christ, to have seen God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ, changes our view of everything. And it changes us. We saw, didn't we, that we can't help but being transformed by seeing this glory. If you look at the end of chapter 3, this is what Paul says Holy Spirit ministry is, the new covenant ministry that he was proclaiming. We, that's all Christians, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So as we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we're changed by seeing that glory. And as we thought last week, it means that we want to speak plainly about Jesus, even though that brings suffering and difficulties. So that's what 2 Corinthians would say in summary of our strapline, to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. But I wonder how confident we're feeling about this. Is it something we're itching to get on with, or is it something that we lack confidence in? It's normal to lack confidence, is what Paul says. Is teaching us in these verses. That is normal. It's totally understandable. It's why he's been saying, therefore, verse 16, we do not lose heart, because it's so easy to lose heart. It's why he says in chapter 4, verse 1, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. It's so easy to lose heart. But see where he goes as he goes into chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 6, he says, therefore we are always confident, bold, and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. There is a confidence that Paul had, a confidence that he wanted the Corinthians to have, a confidence that we can have by the Holy Spirit, a confidence and boldness that doesn't get knocked by the pain and the suffering of speaking plainly about Jesus. Not a sort of masochism that sort of tries to ensure that we do get opposition or that we do have suffering in our lives. No, it's just following the Master, whose glory it was to speak and to suffer for life to go to others. It's simply to know Jesus Christ. So the question is, as we come to the end of this mini-series, why can we be confident? How can we be confident in knowing Jesus Christ and making him known when it is often perplexing, painful? How? Well, it's learning what Paul teaches in these verses that we have before us and taking them to heart. So let's see. See, the first reason why we can be confident to know Jesus Christ and to make him known is for the good of many and the glory of God. That's where Paul goes in this section. So in verse 13, he says, "It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken." That's what he's encouraging all the Corinthians to do, because they believe to speak. "With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence." See, Paul had spoken to the Corinthians despite his suffering and difficulties, and God had worked in power in the Corinthians' lives so that they had seen God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And so he knows that because they'd come to faith too, with him, they would be presented before Jesus, raised in glory. See, to have faith is therefore to speak, not just for Paul and the impact that had in the Corinthians' lives, but for them too. And why was this something he wanted the Corinthians to grasp? Well, he tells us in verse 15, "All this is for your benefit." For your benefit, he says to the Corinthians. For a Christian to know that by speaking, life can go to others despite the difficulties it brings is actually for our benefit. Why? Well, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Overflowing suggests abundance, doesn't it? I don't know what your picture of overflowing abundance is. I don't know, it might be an overflowing cup, an overflowing pint glass, an overflowing coffee cup. I don't know what it might be. An overflowing store of hay. Don't know if you saw in the news, I think this week, that some workmen had, in trying to fix some electrical installation, had hit a water main. And the water main had burst, and it was just throwing up water into the street, overflowing water, just water everywhere, like a fountain. So here the picture is of God's grace reaching more and more people so that thanksgiving overflows. There's just so much thanksgiving because more and more people have come to understand God's grace. They've seen God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, look, Corinthians, if you can grasp how wonderful this is, you'd know it's to your benefit to speak and to see others come to know Jesus and them to be so thankful and you to be so thankful, such that it's just thanksgiving welling up to the glory of God. See, this is what happens when there is faith and therefore speech and a confidence that says, yeah, okay, there's going to be perplexity, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be trials, but, oh dear, don't know quite how that happened. So that thanksgiving would overflow to the glory of God. We just want that. For us, let alone for them and for God's glory. It's for your benefit, says Paul, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So it's for our good that we embrace confidence. You see, there's no greater joy, is there, than in seeing a family member or a friend come to faith in Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy. But this happens through our speaking. There's lots of phrases that have entered church parlance to describe this kind of emphasis. Disciple making disciples is one of them. Gossiping the gospel. The church being the one organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members, as Archbishop William Temple put it. The Christian life being like the Sea of Galilee, which has both an inflow and an outflow, whereas the Dead Sea only has an inflow. Now, this is not to deny that there are not people within the church with word gifts who God has given the church to help us all to speak. But is it interesting, isn't it, that even the evangelist, I don't know what we think of an evangelist's role is, but in Ephesians 4, the evangelist's role is to prepare God's people for works of service. See, the ministers of the word, like Paul is saying here in throughout the whole of 2 Corinthians, is to model what we're all to do, what the normal Christian life is like. And that's why Paul boasts about his weakness. That's why he boasts about his suffering. Because that's what is normal in the Christian life. And yet it's glorious because it's through that that the grace of God reaches more and more people. So why would we be confident in knowing Jesus Christ and making him known? Well, it's for the good of many and the glory of God. It brings great glory to God that his grace reaches more and more people. See, God is into numbers. Throughout the whole Bible, he's into numbers. Yes, he will save his elect, but it will be vast. His plan is to reach the nations. God's grace reaches more and more people to his glory and to overflowing thanksgiving. Now, that doesn't mean it's always helpful to speak of numbers, and I'm sure I've not always spoken about numbers helpfully, and I'm sorry for that. But Paul teaches here, as well elsewhere, that God is glorified by the thanksgiving that results from many being reached by his grace, which comes through the gospel. So if we want God to be glorified, if we want one of the big benefits in the Christian life, we'll want to speak so that many hear and are reached with God's grace. So for the good of many and the glory of God, that's one of the ways in which we're to be confident. But then the other reason why we are to be confident in knowing Jesus Christ and making him known is for sight and certainty of our future glory. For sight and certainty of our future glory. See what Paul says in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. In other words, everything that he's been saying so that we would not lose heart, so that the Corinthians would not lose heart, that it's through God's power that people come to life. It's through God's power that they see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's through God's power that there's an overflowing of thanksgiving, but we're just clay pots. We're just weak and feeble, aren't we? You know, I'm weak and feeble. We're all weak and feeble. But isn't it great that we have such a powerful God? You see, he says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. That's what it's like. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Every day we live as Christians, we are being renewed. And this is in the context of troubles coming on God's people for speaking. But Paul links it with a far wider general principle. He says, inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Because we've seen the glory of Jesus Christ, because we have the Holy Spirit, every day we're being changed. So if you're a Christian here this morning, yesterday you were being made more like Jesus. Today, you and me, we are being made more like Jesus. Tomorrow, you will be made more like Jesus. Whatever we go through, good or bad, stress, illness, anxiety. See, for the Christian, all the sufferings and troubles of life are for our glory in the plan of God. And yes, you heard me right, our glory, because we're joined to the glorious one. We're becoming like the glorious one, the Lord Jesus Christ. How could we not be increasing in glory when we're becoming more like him? And so he says, verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles. And they don't feel like that, do they? Just think of the troubles in your life at the moment. As I think about the troubles in my life, they don't feel small. Do yours feel small? But they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So if we could just see that. And Paul encourages the Corinthians, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We've got to learn where to look if we're going to be confident in knowing Jesus Christ and making him known. I don't know how many of us here run marathons or half marathons, but we've seen the results of the London Marathon, and I don't know, I'm sure that as people are running a marathon, they are aware of the blisters and the aches and the pains. But where are they looking? They're looking to the finish line, aren't they? I mean, are they likely to run confidently if they're looking at their blisters? No. Look at the finish line. There was, again, in the news, some guy who I think was paralyzed, who'd taken 2 days to go very slowly. But he got to the finish line. He was presented with the medal in tears. See, our troubles are temporary. They are achieving glory. And we're to look to the glory that is growing every day. Whatever we go through, that glory is getting bigger and bigger, and that glory will last forever. You see, our suffering is the glory because it shows the life of Jesus. We won't be able to suffer in heaven. It's gone. But the things we do in service of our Lord Jesus Christ, the pains and the sufferings like him, are achieving a glory that will last forever. We shy away from the suffering, but we need to change our view. If we suffer, it's achieving glory that is eternal. And those sufferings are momentary and light. There's another reason, though, as well as seeing future glory. We need to be certain of future glory. Next weekend is the 41 weekend away, and one of the things we'll be doing, which I'm quite excited about, I'll try and not, you know, get on this before the children get on the climbing wall. I love going on the climbing wall. And when we start climbing, we will all, I'm sure, be very confident, and we'll be looking where to put our hands and feet. But the harder things get, the more we get closer to the overhang, the more we will rely on the rope to stop us falling. And as we go on in the Christian life, as troubles come, as perplexity comes, as we're struck down, as we just find it so hard to keep going sometimes, so those trials and troubles help us to put our weight more fully in the one who holds us. And people will see that. You see, this is the confidence that matters, actually. It's not the self-confident swaggering of the false apostles who were emphasizing their speaking skills and their spiritual credentials. Paul wants the Corinthians, as he wants all Christians, to put their confidence in the person who we are to boast about. The Lord Jesus Christ. See, why did Paul boast in weakness and suffering? Well, because he said, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See, if we're strong and we trust in our strength, we are at home in this world. We're at home in this world's wisdom. We're at home in this world's power. And Paul wants a confidence that is far deeper and greater than that. He wants Christians to put their confidence, their trust in the one who is the wisdom of God, the one who is the righteousness of God, the one who shines the glory of God into our lives. And we'll meet him at the end of the race. And so it'll look there. And so he says, and just a little bit, we're not going to go too far into chapter 5, but just so that you know that what I'm saying is coming from the Bible. Now we know if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, in other words, our bodies, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. See, that's where our sight is to be. That's what generates confidence. And verse 5, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's certain that we'll be in glory. So set your sights on glory. Set your sights on the finishing line. Set your sights on that huge weight of glory that every possible small tear or disappointment in the Christian life is achieving. We know that deposit secures the purchase of a house, doesn't it? I don't know if anybody can remember putting a deposit down on your house. You know, it clinches the deal, doesn't it? God has put a deposit down to ensure that we get to glory. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And it's his Holy Spirit who keeps our sights set on the finishing line, our sights set on the glory to come in us. Just as I close, we will be in glory. If we're Christians here this morning, we will be in glory. It's guaranteed. And all our troubles are achieving glory for us. But if you're not a Christian here this morning, suffering's meaningless, isn't it? Why not put your faith in Christ so that you might know God and know that all the difficulties you go through in life will achieve glory for you? We need to set our sights on the world to come, the eternal world, billions of human beings made like Jesus Christ in unique and individual ways. Like snowflakes. I think snow is forecast the week in the next couple of days, isn't it? So if it does snow, think about this. Every single snowflake, individually unique, but reflecting the glory of the sun. And that's what we'll be like. Each and every one of us will be like Jesus Christ in a glorious way, if we're Christians here this morning, radiant with the glory that has been accumulated by our sufferings and troubles in this life, eternally with us. Every trial that we've gone through will be seen, just like Jesus' sufferings are his glory. So ours will be our glory. This is how we can be confident to know Jesus Christ and to make his name known. So by his mercy, for his glory, may we all see this more clearly. Amen.
Thank you, John.